Well, good afternoon. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line right now Mr. Paul Collins, who wrote a fascinating article I came across in a magazine, Paranoia Magazine, as a matter of fact, entitled Darwin and the Scientific Dictatorship War Against the Black Race, which caught my attention very much so, since I do believe that there is an organized effort to exterminate the blacks of Africa. And that's rather a harsh statement, unless you look and see what's happening with the AIDS epidemic in places like Botswana, where 40% of the adult women coming in to have children are tested, they're HIV positive. And, of course, faced with a totally failed public health policy, what are the public health authorities doing in Africa, World Health Organization? Why, we're going to continue the same failed programs, and if 40% of the people are going to die from an operation, would you continue the operation? The answer would be, of course not, unless you wanted to kill more people. So why are we going to continue the same policies in Botswana and in many parts of Africa that have obviously failed? Well, with that as the background, let's go to our guest this afternoon, Mr. Paul Collins. Paul, thank you so much for being with us.
And thank you for having me, Dr. Stan.
Well, apparently you and your brother are writing a lot of books and articles in recent days. Now, have you actually written a book, or is this simply an email book or an internet book that's available? Is it available in hard copy?
We do have a hard copy version of the book that can be purchased through BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com, and was published by iUniverse earlier this year, of that book, and also my other book is also available, The Hidden Face of Terrorism, is also available through those venues as well.
Well, let's talk about this. Maybe some other time we could talk about The Hidden Face of Terrorism, but your book is The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship. A rather intriguing idea, a scientific dictatorship. You feel we're moving away from freedom towards a more authoritarian society?
Well, what we believe, and the thesis of our book, is that we are moving towards a scientistic society, as opposed to one that is faith-based, based in the traditional faiths of Christianity or Judaism or what the Muslims believe, their Islamic religion. It's scientism, and scientism is basically the worship of science and the institution of the idea that everything in life can be measured and be weighted out, including moral decisions, by science. Now, this is not a demonization of science. It's just we certainly don't take issue with science, but we do take issue with the idea of worshiping it and making it the end-all be-all.
And of course, you would, of course, object to certain false science. And as we develop the program this afternoon, we want to show that you begin to challenge some of the basic theses of Darwin, as if they were perhaps motivated more by a political or an ideological agenda than by a scientific agenda. And with that as background, we're just going to have to wait until we bring our other stations on board. They'll be coming aboard in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty this Labor Day, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests. And right now, of course, we're going to be talking with Paul Collins about an article he and his brother had written entitled Darwin and the Scientific Dictatorship, The War Against the Black Race. And this, of course, is a chapter, or at least comes from a book that they have written, going into the background of the ascendancy of the scientific dictatorship, a very, very provocative concept. And, of course, I read the book review in Paranoia Magazine, by somebody who points out that they object to your basic thesis because you believe that there is a Luciferian component to what's much of what is going on today. And of course, you should know that I believe that there's a Luciferian component to this, but this is such an unusual view for most people. The idea that there really could be a dark and sinister spiritual force in much of what we believe, and although you point out that certainly many people who embrace Gnosticism and humanism embrace these ideas that you oppose, you don't really believe everybody who's a Gnostic or a humanist really is a Luciferian or knows the purpose that they're serving, do you?
No, but there's an inclination there to go down that path, humanist or a Gnostic. The inclination is that Darwinism is basically Gnosticism. It has Gnostic elements to it. This whole idea of self-salvation that the Gnostics have, we find that in Darwinism too. That by climbing the ladder, we ourselves can the evolutionary ladder, which is chimerical. It's imaginary, but they believe in it. That by climbing this ladder, we can reach a state of apotheosis or self-deification, and we ourselves can become, in a sense, God. So you have a parallel there between Gnosticism and Darwinianism that makes it so that if a person is a humanist or a Gnostic, then the inclination is there to head down the Luciferian path. And if you look, by the way, at the planks of that the humanists follow in Humanist Manifesto, both 1 and 2, it bears eerie resemblance to the Illuminati's planks, the different ideas that they adhered to.
And of course, I think the most interesting thing that struck me was the fact that you point out that it was Darwin's father was a Freemason, and many of these ideas that were, of course, included in the Darwin's theory of evolution really were the ideas of Freemasonry, of the perfectibility of man, and we are going to members of the North perfect ourselves and become these almost like Superman.
Actually, it was Darwin's grandfather, Erasmus.
Grandfather.
Yes, he had written a book entitled Zoonomia, which laid out his plan, basically his theory of evolution, and he was a Freemasonry. It was involved in Freemasonry and was a Freemason and cribbed liberally from a lot of their beliefs when putting together his theory and devising it.
Now, what about Darwin himself? Was he a Freemason?
There's no evidence really to prove it conclusively. However, it is possible that he had become a member of one of the lodges, and Freemasonry in Mackey's Encyclopedia of Freemasonry certainly make the charge and make the claim that Charles Darwin was very possibly a Freemason.
All right, fine. Now, quote rather extensively from a gentleman named Wilmhurst, who is a Masonic scholar, and he had actually written a book on the meaning of Masonry that talked about how we could evolve to become gods. And one of the statements you quoted it, this, the evolution of man into Superman, was always the purpose of the ancient mysteries and the real purpose of modern Masonry. Is not the social and charitable purpose to which so much attention has been paid, but the expediting of the spiritual evolution of those who aspire to perfect their own nature and transform it into a more godlike quality. In other words, what you're suggesting is the ancient the purpose of the ancient mystery of religions, which, of course, Masonry is the modern-day manifestation of, was always this idea of perfectibility of the individual to become more godlike?
Yes, that's correct. And that's basically what Charles Darwin also seemed to be saying when he spoke of natural selection. His idea was that natural selection would tend to bring us towards perfection, and if you line that up with what Wilmhurst is saying, you understand that perfection is basically the same as godhood.
And then you go on to quote him by saying, becoming a godlike being and unifying his consciousness with the omniscient, to promote which it is and always has been the sole aim and purpose of all initiations. In other words, the initiation would be the initiation into Masonry. But, of course, the average Mason doesn't understand that. It's just the inner core who do. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. The organization practices degrees of initiation. There are those who inhabit the capstone that really know what the organization is all about, and then those on the bottom rung believe themselves to really be involved in something that's charitable, in something that promotes fraternity. There's a fine line between where Freemasonry, the fraternity, ends, and Freemasonry, the temple of religion, which Albert Pike referred to it as, begins. And it's hard to determine where it is because the line becomes so blurred, but there is a point where it ceases to be fraternal, it ceases to be about brotherhood and about bonding with other men, and becomes a religious idea.
And then you point out that this has a great deal to do with the Nordic race. In other words, this whole idea of Masonry really, of course, is for the white people. They do have Masonic lodges for the black, but, of course, the real Masonic lodges are for us white folks. Would that be a fair statement?
Well, the Prince Hall Masonic Lodge was formed because African Americans felt that they were being left out of the loop. However, if you read the New Age magazine, which was the official journal of the Supreme Council of the 33rd degree of Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, and I believe that they have long since changed their name, there was an issue that had an article by C. William Smith, in which he stated that it was the Anglo-Saxons that Providence had chosen to bring in a new era into existence in the Norvis Ordo Seclorum. And so he pinpointed it as being the white race, and in particular the ruling class amongst the whites, that are superior to the rest of us.
And in fact, they even talked about how this would bring in the New Age or the Novus Ordo Seclorum. Now, for our listeners who don't know what that is, you'll see that inscribed on the back of our dollar bill, the secret emblem there, the secret emblem of the ancient mystery of religions, the pyramid cap on the all-seeing eye. Some of our Christian magazines have recently been trying to diffuse this. They don't want the Christians to know the truth about that, but if you read the occult magazines, as I do, and as obviously as Paul has, he's well aware that these emblems really all go back to the ancient mystery of religion. So why are some of our Christian ministries trying to negate our knowledge of this? Well, I would like to suggest that I believe most of our Christian, major mainline Christian ministries, and I would say that I personally know the leaders of many of these, but their ministries, they may be good people, but their ministries have been infiltrated by people who are using Christianity today to conceal what this is all about. And certainly you're not allowed to get up and talk about Cecil Rhodes or Cecil Rhodes Secret Society or Cecil Rhodes Masonic connections or how this whole idea of Masonry is so violently anti-black. So let's get off into Cecil Rhodes, because I was fascinated as you talked about Cecil Rhodes, his Masonic connections, and his ideas that the white British Anglo-Saxon would one day rule the world. I want to pick up that idea because I think that's so vitally important that people understand that Cecil Rhodes, who created the Rhodes Scholarships, of which, of course, Bill Clinton is a perfect example, but so many of the Rhodes Scholars are all dedicated to this idea of world government. And, of course, although you didn't mention it, the other branch that of the movement that Cecil Rhodes created was, of course, a secret society, which became the Round Table in England, the Royal Institute, and in the United States, an organization I think maybe many of our listeners may have heard of, which is the Council on Foreign Relations. But you seem to be very well acquainted with Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which I think is probably the most important book in my library other than the Bible. Would you like to go into the background of Cecil Rhodes and the part that he plays in this racist movement?
Absolutely. Cecil Rhodes, many people that have studied conspiratorial history and the undercurrents of history are well familiar with his name, and they're familiar with his connection to the birthing and the genesis of such groups as the Round Tables, the Society of the Elect, the Council on Foreign Relations and its sister organization, the Royal Institute of International Affairs, and the fact that he was heavily influenced by a teacher named John Ruskin. But it, what's little known is that in June of 1877, he had become a life member of the Apollo chapter of Freemasonry at Oxford University. And while he had criticisms of the lodge and found it hard to consider their his membership in the lodge as being serious, he did take many of the ideas of the lodge and used them to shape his Confession of Faith, which would later become the basis for the scholarships that you were making reference to. And one of the individuals who also influenced him heavily was a Darwinian, a Gnostic Darwinian named Winwood Reed, William Winwood Reed. And his book, The Martyrdom of Man, which held that man was perfectible but only by toil, the survival of the fittest method, also infected his thinking and shaped his beliefs concerning the British rule and the idea that they were superior to all other people on the face of the planet, and the rest of the people needed to be domesticated, tamed, and the ruling class tradition of Britain needed to be extended to the rest of the world.
And this is really a very, very racist attitude. England was going to dominate the world, and all those poor little white, black folks there in Africa, and the brown people of Asia, South America, and the yellow people of Asia, they were all to be brought under British control. Wasn't that more or less this idea of everything would be under British control?
Yes, and if it was a rather benign idea that they did not act upon, then I would be content to allow them to have those ideas, and you know, because basically people the world over engage in a lot of foolish thought. However, we do know that he was a practitioner of this particular virulent form of elitism, because in Tragedy and Hope, Quigley also explains how he set up in South Africa the De Beers Consolidated Mines and funding from Lord Rothschild and several others who gave him financial support. He basically became the Prime Minister of the Cape Colony and really enslaved the Africans for several years. And the resentment over that colonial enslavement is still very much in Africa. Those people have not forgotten the brutality.
No, I'm sure they haven't. And, of course, they named the a country of Rhodesia after him. That is, of course, Zimbabwe today. But this idea of British imperialism, and of course, you to unite, first of all of Africa, and then all the rest of the world under British control. Well, when that failed, of course, they passed the mantle to the United States. Today, America has troops stationed in 140 nations throughout the world. We don't control the nations imperially by military force in most instances. We control them financially and through their banking institutions. America has replaced Great Britain as the pusher of this great racist movement throughout the world. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation.
It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
The longest-lived woman, Jean Calment of France, who lived 122 years, and man, Antonio Todd of the Italian Isle of Sardinia, who lived 115 years, mother of England, who lived 100 years, outliving one of her daughters by 3 decades, consumption of red wine. But health authorities have been reticent to recommend an alcoholic beverage to the public at large until now. Longevinex is the world's first stabilized French red wine extract in a pill, without the calories and without the alcohol or sulfite preservatives. One Longevinex capsule provides the red wine molecules found in 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405, order Longevinex. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon, Paul Collins, and of course he and his brother have written a book on the ascendancy, going into the background of the ascendancy of the scientific dictatorship and this whole idea that there really is a racist element to what's going on today. And really what's so distressing to me is that the average American doesn't understand the genesis of our war in the Middle East. It's had nothing to do with weapons of mass destruction. It was determined long before the 9/11 attack, and maybe that's, of course, why nothing was done on the morning of 9/11 to stop that attack. And all I can say is we spent $7 billion to pay off the survivors, the relatives of the survivors. Why did we get them all that money? Well, they had to promise they wouldn't bring lawsuits. They wouldn't ask any more questions. They wouldn't inquire them. Take your $1 million, be quiet, and don't ask any embarrassing questions. Because we cannot let the American people know the truth about what this is really all about. It's a very large movement, America is to bring about the Novo Ordo Seclorum. That has always been the plan, and unfortunately it's being carried out today. Well, we were talking, certainly going into the background of Cecil Rhodes and his plan for world domination. Have you ever been able to find, you've done extensive studies, have you ever gotten the complete confession of faith that Cecil Rhodes wrote? Have you ever found that anyplace?
Actually, no, I haven't. You find bits and pieces, and most of it's in other people's published works. Carol quickly touches on it a little bit. Rotberg touches on it a bit, and other biographies of Rhodes touch on it in print. And some of them do print extensive excerpts and segments of it, but the complete I haven't seen even on Universe often.
I will get in touch with me off the air, and I'll send you a copy that I got from Professor Quigley's papers back at Georgetown, and which we do put out through our ministry. We really should put that up on our website so people would have access to it to understand the thinking of this man who shaped the world in which we live today. And I don't think there's anybody who's had as much influence as Rhodes really on what's going on, not only in England, but in America. Do you?
He certainly did have a great impact on the thinking that's driving foreign policy today, when you consider that the foreign policy cartel here in the United States is the Council on Foreign Relations, and they basically were the transmission belt for several of his ideas stateside.
All right, fine. Well, of course, then do you see this whole idea, this Darwinian idea of the superiority of the white, really influencing our attitudes and our policies towards Africa today?
Well, when you look at, take for instance, what happened with the National Security Study Memorandum 200. Henry Kissinger was instrumental in the writing of this document, and it's been known as the Scowcroft document because of Bernd Scowcroft's involvement in it. They found in this document that the rise of populations in Africa and in other non-white countries was a security threat to the United States. And the question is, why would we believe, what would prompt these people that are big names in foreign policy to believe that a rise in population amongst people that differ only in color would be some sort of threat? And if you look back over the writings of Darwin and whatnot, and see what he said about blacks, what he said about Australians, how he referred to these people as anthropomorphic apes, and how they had to be rendered extinct, and that the Caucasian had to be lifted up and ascend higher up the ladder, then you see an ominous parallel.
And I think for our listeners out there, NSMM, the National Security Study Memorandum 200, was published in 1974 over the name of Henry Kissinger. It was classified, it was top secret for many years. It has been declassified. It is available on the Internet, and you should get a copy of that and read it through. And it is just exactly as Paul is saying. I mean, we are going to keep the population down throughout the world, not because we're concerned about the women or the children. We're concerned because if they develop strong economies in these other countries like Nigeria or Bangladesh or India, why, they're going to threaten us. We won't be able to use their natural resources. We won't be able to continue to lord it over them. That we're going to go in there with a massive population control program and keep their population down. And we're not interested, concerned about all the things you hear about, oh, we're going to overpopulate the world. It all had to do with power. Would that be a fair statement?
I would say that you hit the nail on the head.
All right, we'll be back here in just a moment. We'll welcome your calls here at Radio Liberty at 888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Give us a call.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. They go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Paul Collier, and we're talking about a book, Paul Collins, and a book that he and his brother Philip had written. We've got Jim calling from Salinas, and again our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 here on the Central Coast of California. Jim, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I certainly do. To show about this whole racist scenario, and read the writings of Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, and one follows the statistics concerning the 43 million, which is, by the way, about 1/7 of the total population of our country, abortions since Roe v. Wade, 1973. A very, very disturbing fact emerges. The preponderance of these abortion procedures are done on women who are ethnic minorities. And Margaret Sanger was a major contributor to the concept of eugenics and was somebody who Hitler's people studied extensively as far as what she was teaching. Also, I think it's important to point out that there is an important brand new book in the library here, Steinbeck Library here in Salinas, and hopefully elsewhere, called War Against the Weak, which does an excellent job of spelling this out.
All right, Jim. Pardon me, Paul. How would you respond to Jim?
I'm very happy that Jim brought that up. As a matter of fact, we have a very extensive part in our book that is dedicated to Margaret Sanger,
and to the part that she played in this whole mess.
And I think it's important that people understand that what happened in Hitler's Germany was simply a continuation of Margaret Sanger's policy. During the early years of the 20th century, we sterilized probably 25,000-30,000 people who had mental defects or mental deficiency or were feeble-minded. Why? So they wouldn't have any children. And, of course, Margaret Sanger worked very closely with the Nazis. It was Rudolf Hess who said, Nazism is nothing more than applied science. And, of course, she worked with the Kaiser Wilhelm Institute there in Berlin. And, of course, the whole idea of the doing away with the Jews was to cleanse the gene pool. It was just eugenics. It was exactly what we were practicing here. But then, of course, after the Second World War, they had to change the name. They couldn't call it eugenics anymore because of the Nazi inclination. So they called it population control. Anything else, Jim?
Yeah, I think it's very important that people understand that, you know, not only is the abortion controversy about right to life, but I think it's important to point out that Planned Parenthood in specific has become guilty of mass genocide, and it's documentable statistically.
And of course, if you look at the AIDS epidemic in America today, with the blacks making up 10% of the population, isn't it interesting that 60% of the AIDS cases or the new HIV cases are among the black? I wonder why that is. Anything else, Jim? Anything else you'd like to say before we let Jim go there, Paul?
No, he hit it right on the head.
Okay.
It's not about women's rights. It's about eugenical regimentation, and it's about doing away with so-called dysgenical races and so-called inferior races because of this whole occult agenda of creating a God-man.
And I think you've hit it right on the head. This is why I just loved your article, because it is an occult agenda, and that is really the message that you have. That's one reason why some people don't like your article and why I love it. Thank you so much, Jim, for calling. Let's go to Ben, who's calling from Salinas. Hi, how are you doing?
Yes, thank you, Dr. Stan. Yeah, your voice is modulating a little low today, so you might check out your settings there.
All right, I certainly will. Thank you.
Yeah, because I am a board op also. Anyway, your gentleman there, your guest, very knowledgeable, and thank you for having this caliber of guest. We love you, Dr. Stan, for the caliber of your guest. Speaking of the Cecil Rhodes attitude, and remember that Hitler got his idea of eugenics from the Nelson Rockefeller clan on the planned, what they're planning to do to the minority, and now it all fits. If the overall theme is white supremacist domination of the world, and then now we're seeing that Mr. Bush yesterday, the administration, what the people really account, they want to wipe out Social Security by putting such a big deficit. Well, we had to dump it into the deficit, but yesterday, gentlemen, they announced an increase of Medicare to the elderly, 17%. I mean, I love our elderly citizens. We're all on our way there. I love our disabled people. When are we going to fight for our Americans? Why, and you, to you Republicans that are all so gung-ho to vote for Bush, why are you so willing to let your young men and women to be drafted, to be blown to bits and died, to come back and have to fight for $200 worth of Social Security payments because they can't prove all these injuries? Why are you willing to let your wonderful Republican young men and women to be, their student deferments be done away, to go die for this war in eugenics and white supremacy and the rich for the rich only, and do away? And if it's a racist thing, why are so many of you non-whites supporting Bush? I mean, I don't, if he can win the election, let him, but why are you people so willing to let our young citizens get drafted and killed just for the rich, and yet they're screwing up Medicare, 70% increase in the premium yesterday? You know what that does to an old person deciding between medicine and dinner to stay alive another year? My God, golden years means go. It's their country. People over 65, guess what? This is Ben of Salinas, a lettuce-picking Mexican. After you're 65, no citizen, if the Lord has blessed you with health, you should be able to work and not pay any taxes and get your medical benefits and be the protection and love our country, and we die under the flag, and God bless America, and damn it, Republicans, wake up and help us save America.
Well, now, Ben, I'm not going to disagree. Well, first of all, let's let our guest on. Do you have any response to Ben, who he feels so deeply about what he says? How would you respond to him if you were in charge of the program?
Well, Ben, one thing that you have to get people to start, financial reports of these different tax-exempt foundations that fund Planned Parenthood. They don't understand that Rockefeller Foundation and the various other foundations, even the Ford Foundation, have poured money hand over fist into these organizations. And why is that? Because the elite suffer from what is known as Olympian delirium. They believe,
too much is not enough.
Well, they believe themselves to be gods walking the earth.
Absolutely.
And we all know the horrible racial derogation. I won't repeat it on the air. Assigned to African Americans by Back Hill Bubba's, the absolutely despicable N word. Well, due to the exclusivity of the Blue Bloods clique of the Rockefellers of the Rothschilds and whatnot. The N-word applies to the vast majority of humanity. So get them looking into these tax-exempt foundations that shield the elite's money from the income tax and also get poured into the various social engineering projects that they
have. Is that not corporate welfare? And they hate welfare so much, and even, I don't want to go too long here, but even the Savage Sissy and Limbaugh and Redneck O'Reilly, they said on the air yesterday, they want to kill us because of our moral and family values. Hey, why do we think the 80,000 Afghanis and Iraqis, don't they love their grandmothers and their daughters and their, what's so moral about killing, the rate at which we're killing innocent people? And if we're so moral, why is porn on the internet the biggest industry in this country?
Well, Ben, we've got real problems. But I'm not suggesting that people vote for one way or the other, because I don't think anything's going to be any better under John Kerry. I believe both political parties are controlled by the same people. But I think anybody who really wants to understand the foundations that Paul is talking about needs to get the book that we've kept in print for the last decade called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It's the one book that will tell you what the Rockefellers are really funding, and they're funding population control in part. Right now, let's go to Jeff is calling from Carmel. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
How are you doing? That's very interesting that somebody can't decide what they want to be, whether they want to be a lettuce picker or a board op.
Well, Ben feels very, very deeply about what he's doing.
Well, I don't think he does. I think he's very disingenuous. But anyway, my personal view of abortion is that it is a ritual murder. That people, they construct an altar out of their own conceit, and before an idol, what they've created out of their own vanity, they commit a ritual murder. They sacrifice an innocent human life. And if you look at the It's sort of an idea that there is a conflict between the inherent pagan values that have come from the old world and in conflict with Judaic values of individual justice, which Moses brought to us.
Well, but you see, I think the point that Paul makes so beautifully in the article he's writing is that there is an occultic or Luciferian a movement behind everything going on, and this whole idea, that human life has no value. This is a Luciferian idea.
And yeah, it's from the old pagan culture.
Right. And Paul, how would you like to respond to Jeff and what he's saying?
Well, the reason that we can't see it as such is because it has a scientific or pseudo-scientific garb wrapped around it. That's basically what Darwin's duty was to take the different oligarchical concepts, including the ruling class religion, which is Luciferianism, and wrap it in a scientific, a pseudo-scientific garb, to make it look legitimate, to make it look right. But what you were saying about abortion, it's really funny, the ominous parallels between the fact that we have abortion thanks to Margaret Sanger, who was an adherent to theosophy, and theosophy's major tenets go back really to, if you look and you dig deep, to Canaan and the Canaanites, who were Molech worshippers and sacrificed their children to a god named Molech.
Well, the same goes for the pagan Egyptians. They had the idea that the pharaoh was god.
Yes, until Jesus Christ hit the scene, infanticide was really commonplace, and little was made about it, and there was really little in the way of moral sensibilities holding back such abhorrent practices.
I find it very interesting that you look at the our culture today, and you can see the pagan versus Judaic conflict. The idea that we have individual sovereignty as individuals.
We'll just look, for instance, at the fact that The Passion of the Christ came out and was a blockbuster, and now other factions in Hollywood feel that they have to come up with a counter to that by making Dan Brown's book, which is pure Gnosticism,
which one was that now?
Motion picture.
This is the Da Vinci Codes.
Yes, exactly.
Well, there was another one, a movie called What the Something Do We Know, and they're promoting it like a religion.
Well, of course, you know, the purpose of Hollywood is to destroy Christianity and Judaism. In fact, we have a wonderful video with Cara Matriciano called The Gods of Entertainment, where she talks to this one fellow Hollywood producer who's talking about the purpose of Hollywood is not to make money. It is the anti-Christian, anti-Judaic agenda there that is the real driving force.
I have done a lot of theater myself and have acted in many theater productions. It's one of my other great loves next to research. And I can tell you firsthand that there's a great difference between entertaining an audience and then using theater or using a studio lot at a Hollywood production company to as a propaganda font. Fount for propaganda.
What they're doing is they're promoting a paganized form of drama that is intended to be a religion or an idol for people to follow.
Yes,
go ahead.
I was about to say that it's basically become less about entertainment and more about social engineering, where you supplant the people's people's social values. And in our book, we have a whole section over sci-fi predictive programming, and we look into the background of some of the major premier science fiction writers of the last century, such as Orwell and Wells, H.G. Wells. And what you find is a background steeped in Fabian socialism and Freemasonry and in a lot of different groups that acted as conduits for elitist interests.
Well, if you go on the internet, there's a I don't know if you've ever heard of an author by the name of Camille Paglia. But she wrote an article called Cults and Cosmic Consciousness. You just probably just drop that into a search engine. And she lists all the neo-pagan, new-age cults that have emerged out of the 1960s that pretty much predominate popular culture nowadays. And I find it very interesting that conflict that's going on, because you can see it in a lot of the cartoons they even put out for children on television.
Okay, well, I agree with you totally. Hey, thanks very much for calling,
Jeff. You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And I was just Paul was saying that, of course, you can trace this idea of abortion back to the Canaanites, and, of course, they sacrificed their children to Moloch. Well, of course, the old story of the fall of Jericho, and of course, the order was given to kill everybody in Jericho, Joshua gave the order, he got it from God, everybody was to be killed, every animal was killed, only Rahab and her family who were to be spared. And people say, well, that was pretty rough thing, you know, you kill everybody, even the little children. Why would you do that? And, of course, it tells us in the Psalms, because they sacrificed their children to Moab. To Moloch, they were actually, you could not leave anything that was that corrupt intact, because if they would, if you left any of the children, they would go back to the old religion, and it had to be totally exterminated. That's why they had to kill everybody. That's why God ordered them to kill everybody. And I sort of wonder, and when I see what's happening in America today, how God is reacting to America. And so many of our people support abortion. It's perfectly all right. After all, it's a woman's choice. Well, we're just about out of time. Paul, what are your thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today, other than they should get your book and want to tell them how to get it?
Yes, the book can be bought through BarnesandNoble.com and also through Amazon.com. Just type the titles into their search engine, The Ascendancy of the Scientific Dictatorship or The Hidden Face of Terrorism. I believe that they have a package for both books together at Amazon.com. Get them, read them, understand that the way that we're going to bring this all down is not the way that the militias of the mid-90s believed, by tearing down a political
structure violently, you're not going to get anything productive done. We'll get this done by tearing down the wall of plausible denial through reading, through education.
And I agree with you totally, and I thank you so very much for being with us. We do actually have three different audiences. I hope we can get you onto our others, because I think your message is very important.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. I'm happy to be on the show.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, fine. That was Paul Collins, and of course, I think you'll find his message very, very good. In fact, I'm surprised we got such a great response here on Labor Day, and we're not on our shortwave. Anyway, we'll be back in just a moment to, somebody had asked if we'd ask our callers not to criticize other callers like Ben. But anyway, I certainly believe Ben is very, very sincere in everything that he says.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Built on His Mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and let me put in a plug for people getting Professor Quigley's excellent book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, which we carry. And if you order either that or his book, The Anglo-American Establishment, and you request it, we'll send you a copy of Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith, which Paul was saying he had never been able to find, and that's true. You will not find this anyplace. I found it. In fact, I've never seen anybody who had the entire Confession of Faith. Everybody writes about it, but nobody has ever seen it. Well, we actually put it out in our Sustainable Development Syllabus, but just for today, if you order Tragedy and Hope or the book, The Anglo-American Established, which is written by Professor Quigley as well, to explain the whole background of the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created to take over control of the world, why, and request, and you request the Confession of Faith, why, I will send you a copy of that. This has been suppressed very effectively through the years. People don't want, or at least the forces working within the shadows don't want people to know that Cecil Rhodes wrote about creating a secret society, because you're not supposed to believe in secret societies. Oh, that's in the venue of the people who believe in black helicopters and believe that there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of President Kennedy. Well, there are black helicopters, and there was a conspiracy behind the assassination of John Kennedy, and of course, we go into that extensively in many of the other things we've written, but we think it's so vitally important that you understand that the background of really what's going on today. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. In order, A Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, or, of course, my book, the book, The Anglo-American Establishment. And if you specifically request that, we will be glad to send you a copy of Cecil Rhodes' Confession of Faith, if you get the special. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and if you get the Tragedy and Hope special, why, you'll get ordinarily the book Foundations, the Power and Influence. You get the interview with Professor Quigley, where he tells about this movement, this secret movement, how his book was suppressed. You'll hear him talk about those people, voted for Barry Goldwater. He thought that they were, the petty bourgeois who voted for Gary Goldwater. He really looked down on people like you and I. He was an elitist. He believed that this was the hope of the world, that the elite would come to rule. He really believed, as Plato had written, that we needed a ruling elite, that freedom wouldn't work, there had to be a governing group, and he was totally in sympathy with what they were doing. He just thought that us common folks had a right to know what was going on. Well, I believe we have a right to know what's going on, too, and that's why we do what we do 5 hours every day, trying to wake the American people up to realize that there really are people out there, people of great wealth, But what most observers, most writers on this have missed, but Paul Collins and his brother really haven't, is that there is an occult background to everything going on today. In fact, if you read the article in the Paranoia magazine, what a terrible name, but it's really got some rather fascinating articles. Somebody just sent me a copy of it, and I found that. Why, of course, they are sorely criticized for suggesting there's a Luciferian element to what's going on, but they're absolutely right. The people who are involved in this incredible movement to bring about the New World Order, the New World Religion, are involved in a Luciferian movement. And until you understand that, it's literally impossible to understand what indeed is going on today. So we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us as we reach out 5 hours every day trying to educate the American people about what's going on. And again, of course, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. We hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family and support what we do. We hope that many of you will give serious consideration to coming to the meeting we're going to have on the 6th of November here in the Monterey Bay area, and we're going to be bringing in outside speakers. Lunch is going to be served, and I think you'll find it a fascinating time. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927, because you're going to have an advanced reservation. We're really hoping to fill up this year and to have a good turnout. So far, things are looking very good. In years past, we've had people from across America, people from around the world have come to the meetings. And, of course, a wonderful opportunity to reach others, and a rather wonderful opportunity to get your hands on so much of the literature we talk about. But even more than that, an opportunity to meet people who are concerned, as you and I are, with, of course, that our country is taking. I'm very concerned about the war overseas. I believe that this is a prelude to a much larger war. It's only a matter of time before we find an excuse to go to war with Iran, before we find an excuse to go to war with Syria, before we invoke the draft. In fact, the legislation is already in place in Washington, D.C., to bring about the draft here, and they're going to be drafting both men and women. Do you really want your children to go off to fight in these wars, these wars to pursue this Novus Ordo Seclorum, the plan of the ancient mystery religions, the plan of the ancient